Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday by special appointment or by special appointment.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and find out more at alexanderhouseonline.org, alexanderhouseonline.org.
Nice.
We'll be back with more fun in the morning show here at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report.
You have any messages for Donald Trump today? You plan on telling the truth? Michael, any comment?
Reporters peppering the former president's former fixer, Michael Cohen, with questions as he left his New York apartment and headed to the courthouse to testify in Mr. Trump's hush money trial. Cohen has admitted to lying to Congress. Correspondent Robert Costa.
I've sat down with Michael Cohen over the past year several times, and he keeps saying that this is not about Michael Cohen and his credibility and his testimony. It's going to be about the checks that Donald Trump wrote in the Oval Office.
One of those checks in the amount of $130,000 went to Stormy Daniels to cover up an alleged tryst in 2006. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
Of course, the prosecution is worried about Michael Cohen's credibility issue. This is something they've been addressing since day one. They've already raised it themselves before the jury because they know it's going to be such an important point for the defense to bring up.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Oral arguments are today in a state Supreme Court case that could bring absentee ballot drop boxes back to Wisconsin this year. 2 years ago, the court's former conservative majority ruled nothing in state law allowed for absentee drop boxes anywhere other than local clerk's offices. The August primary is 3 months away. Microsoft's president says the infrastructure in Racine County met for Foxconn played a role in its decision to invest $3 billion in a new AI data center.
No doubt, we are the beneficiaries of that earlier effort. You know, the land that was initially acquired that we're now able to buy, even the electrical infrastructure.
Brad Smith speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front after President Biden's visit last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Did you know you can stream videos with your library card? Macmillan Memorial Library now offers Canopy video streaming. You'll need your email address and library card number to create a Canopy account. You'll receive 15 tickets per month to play videos on Canopy. It's free to access with your library card, and you can enjoy thoughtful entertainment ad-free on your TV, mobile phones, tablets, and online. Your tickets reset the first day of the month. They also have Canopy Kids that includes unlimited plays of educational and engaging videos for children of all ages. You can visit macmillanlibrary.org for more information. Road work begins today on the North Side Street Improvement Project in Stevens Point. On May 13th, crews will begin pavement removal on Vincent Street between 6th Avenue and Maria Drive. The intersection of Vincent Street and 6th Avenue will be closed to through traffic today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Partly cloudy today with a high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 42. Tomorrow, sunshine, 67 by Wednesday. Mostly sunny with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Good morning, Wisconsin.
Good morning, world.
It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. I have your host, James, behind the mic, being brought to you by Melissa's with us.
I'm here. Hello.
Seth.
We're all here. The gang's all here. The James gang.
Hey.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Appreciate you kicking off your week with us. We're going to have some fun things lined up for you. Get into a little bit of entertainment news. We're going to talk Muppets as well. We've also got some fun stuff about what confuses people from other countries about what's on our TVs and movies.
That sounds like fun.
And all of that. All these fun things for you in store. But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Today we're going to talk about the kale yard.
A yard of kale? Who does that? Aren't lawns bad enough? Kale is kind of gross. I don't know about this, Melissa.
I believe she's referring to the Scottish K-A-I-L yard, not K-A-L-E as in the vegetable. It's another term for a kitchen garden.
It pains me to say it, but Seth is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're talking about the kitchen garden.
Oh, never mind. That makes a lot more sense. And it is the right time of year to be thinking about those kitchen gardens.
Yeah, now you're on track, James. The kitchen garden has played a vital role in feeding households for hundreds of years. We're going to focus mainly on the kitchen gardens here in America. In Europe, they have a vast history of using gardens not only to feed their families, but also for ornamentation and relaxation. Hmm. It's actually a dream of mine to someday see the gardens at Versailles in France, but I digress. Today, we're going to talk about the evolution of the kitchen garden here and mention how the gardens in Europe played an influential role in their development.
We'll lean heavily on an article from GardenTech.com by Jolene Henson titled An American Timeline, Home Gardening in the U.S. She begins in the 1700s, stating, without the luxury of corner stores and market produce, American colonists relied on productive home gardens for survival. Small, enclosed dooryard gardens, located right outside the front door, were dedicated to essential edibles and culinary and medicinal herbs.
As settlers moved west in the early 1800s, practical, no-nonsense gardens stayed close to the door, making it easy to protect, maintain, and harvest plants. Focused on sustenance, not beauty, kitchen gardens, as they were called, with fruit trees, veggies, and herbs, prevailed. Flowers took a backseat to food and medical plants.
By the mid-1800s, home gardening became a leisure activity as villages grew and produce markets opened. Edible gardens fell out of favor, and ornamental gardens took center stage. U.S. plant breeders focused on new garden varieties, and U.S. researchers became known for their work on plant diseases and pests.
Pest-fighting tools helped overcome challenges. Dried, crumbled chrysanthemum flower heads, known as pyrethrum, were imported for botanical protection against pests. More than 150 years later, chrysanthemum extracts, known as pyrethrins, are the active ingredient in worry-free brand insecticides and miticides, remain among the most powerful natural pesticides available.
The late 1800s saw the influences from Europe. Home gardens moved from just outside the front door to side and backyards. Front door gardens were replaced by stylish, maintained grass known as lawns. Victorians cut tapestries like carpet bed designs into the lawns and filled them with exotic flowers. Mm. Professional garden designers came on the scene, and home gardens, once designed for public viewing, began to include distinct private areas protected from the public.
In the early 1900s, interest in edible gardening dropped as manufacturing jobs drew Americans to urban areas. Home gardens became more natural-looking, with softened lines and landscapes that connected home landscapes. Trendsetting American garden designers started using native plants previously considered too weed-like instead of new, nursery-cultivated varieties.
During 1910 to 1930, new garden styles from England influenced U.S. home gardens. Large, billowing beds of perennials came into vogue, along with outdoor living rooms. Lawns grew larger, framed by boundaries of mass shrubs, and foundation plantings close to the house grew in popularity.
In the 1940s, World War II brought U.S. home gardeners back to the vegetable patch, and urban community gardeners started during World War I took on new life. President Franklin D. Roosevelt urged every American household to fight food shortages with a home garden. By 1943, 20 million Victory Gardens supplied more than 40% of all American produce grown that year. But interest in vegetable gardens and orchards waned with the war.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Then the creation of Earth Day in 1970 renewed interest in growing produce at home. Garden designers started mingling vegetables and fruits in with ornamentals in formal designs, and edible landscaping started to take hold. Urban community gardens became more widespread, as did interest in organic gardening.
By the 1990s, interest in small-space gardening soared as urban populations grew at the fastest rate in history. Containers, trellises, and permanent planters built into hardscapes became the new home garden for Americans with small, private, urban spaces.
Enter the 2000s. Edible gardens came back to the forefront and the front yard as Americans became more health conscious and the desire for fresh, local food grew. In 2009, the White House planted its first vegetable garden since World War II. By 2013, one-third of all American households reported growing food.
Mm.
So did you have guys have gardens growing up?
Yes. As a matter of fact, my parents had a vegetable garden that we did every year in the backyard. It was decent size, too. We grew quite a bit of stuff there. And my mom also loved planting flowers. We had several flower beds, too. Mm. And, of course, I was drafted to help with all that.
Right.
So, yes, I had a good...
Labor's free.
Yeah, exactly. So I had a good experience doing all that. And I look back with fondness, you know? I really do. I think it was really cool. Maybe at the time I was like, why am I doing this? But when I think about it now, it's like, well, that was really cool. That was actually a fun time with my parents. So,
Yeah, my mom had a huge garden when we were kids, and we did a lot of the manual labor in there as well, us four children. She grew a lot of our food and then would can or freeze and, you know, process it in the fall to save. I imagine growing up in the city would have been a little bit different for you, James, huh?
Oh, yeah, certainly. But I do remember before we moved out of there that it was some of the early days of building on top of the high rise and putting like gardening and plants and vegetables up there and everything, and the excitement in the neighborhood about that.
That's neat.
It's like container gardening.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Melissa, did those early days with your mom doing a lot of that stuff, did that kind of build and grow this kind of like love for this world and this field for you?
Well, gardening is a lot of work, and if you don't have time to do it, it can definitely feel like a chore. Because if you don't keep on top of the weeds, they get on top of you. So and then you don't have.
Oh,
much.
Weeding! Oh, I remember weeding so much. Yes.
So now let's move into talking about what's planted in these gardens and companion planting, which can actually help you with those weeds.
Ooh! I've got a great source for this one: the Old Farmer's Almanac Companion Planting Guide. You can find it at almanac.com.
So first, let's talk about what companion planting is.
Is this where you get a bunch of your friends together to help you plant your garden? Because I'll get on this right now.
You know, that's a great idea, but you're wrong.
Sad face.
According to the Old Farmer's Almanac, companion planting is the practice of growing one plant to help another as part of a community. Fruit, vegetables, and herbs are simply and noticeably more resilient and productive when each member supports the next.
Now, the benefits can be one way, such as when nectar-rich flowers planted around fruiting crops like tomatoes improve insect population or pollination, or reciprocal, such as when the famous three sisters of corn, pole, beans, and squash are grown together for their mutual benefit.
The article goes on to say, by growing communities of plants that are known to support each other, you can save a lot of time and potential heartache. This is nature's way of minimizing pest damage, boosting soil fertility, reducing weed competition, and ultimately increasing yields. Productive gardens cultivated with companion planting in mind also tend to be better looking, too.
Here's a few common examples. Tomato and basil are a natural companions. Basil repels certain insect pests such as thrips and also disorients moths, which lay tomato hornworms. Ugh, that sounds terrible.
Never heard the term hornworms before. That sounds horrifying. Garlic can be planted as a barrier crop to repel aphids. Aphids, thank you. Like vampires, they can't stand it.
Nasturtium flowers grown close to kale, cabbage, broccoli, and any brassica crops will lure hungry caterpillars away from eating your crops.
The article goes into great detail about the benefits of companion planting. We'll briefly go over the seven benefits they list out. The first is deterring pests. If you can do this with plants instead of using chemicals, it's much better for your garden as a whole. Pesticides are a very blunt tool and can destroy beneficial bugs as well as pests.
From now on, benefits needs to be known as Bennies. Bennies. Another benefit, or Benny, is attracting beneficial insects. Research shows that planting pollinator strips within the garden encourages other both pollinators and pest predators.
Number three is shade regulation. Large plants provide shade for smaller plants needing sun protection. For example, corn shades lettuce.
How about natural supports? Tall plants like corn and sunflowers can support lower growing, sprawling crops such as cucumbers and peas.
You'll also have improved plant health. When one plant absorbs certain substances from the soil, it may change the soil biochemistry in favor of nearby plants.
Wow.
And it can improve soil fertility. Some crops, like beans, peas, and other legumes, help to make nitrogen more available in the soil. Similarly, plants with long taproots, like burdock, bring up nutrients from deep in the soil, enriching the topsoil to the benefit of shallow-rooted plants.
And the seventh benefit is weed suppression. Planting sprawling crops like potatoes with tall, upright plants minimizes open areas where weeds typically take hold.
What's really neat about this article is all the science. There's a lot of misconceptions about companion planting on the internet. Much of it is based on folklore hearsay. Their reference guide only highlights companion plant pairings backed by the scientific evidence and tried and true practices.
At the end of the article, they go over the most common garden crops and their suitable companion plants. But if you want even more information, you can head over to their online Almanac Garden Planner, and you can plan out your entire garden right there. They offer a free 7-day trial, or you can get a subscription, but I didn't look into it any further than that, so I don't know costs or things like that. Yeah.
Right, but that's...
if you could plan out your garden in 7 days, you're good.
I'm going to say that's amazing, though.
Yeah.
I had no idea there was a resource like this out there. That's just so cool.
Yeah,
makes me want to go out and plant something. And I plant something.
Have you ever done a garden as an adult?
No, I haven't. Beth and I have a couple of times threatened to do it when we lived out in North Dakota. We got as far as like tilling up a patch of land, but then we just never got into plant any seeds or anything like that. We've talked about doing a pallet garden with pallets, that kind of thing, which to keep it off the ground from the bunnies and the other things that will eat it from animals, I should say, that will eat it and that sort of thing. So
squirrels,
Thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I've tried a couple times myself, but typically I usually ended up just helping my mom with her garden because she always did a huge garden.
Yeah.
And when I lived close enough to her, I would just go help her out.
If you guys had the time, money, resources, and all that, would you do more gardening? Would you have a bigger garden or anything?
I don't think I'd have a big one. I think a small one that, or even just the container garden would be something that'd be cool to try.
Yeah, considering where we live and stuff, too, I'm with Melissa on that one, just because it would be easier to maintain, I think.
Right on.
What about you, James?
I think it's one of those things. I'm very intrigued, and I love learning about it, and I literally like getting my hands in the dirt and doing a lot of that stuff, but I think I'd be better off living vicariously through somebody else. Like, hey, point me in the direction and tell me what to do, and I'll get out there and do it. And I love sitting back and watching it and everything, but I don't know if I was on my own in my own place and time and money and all that, if I'd be able to do a whole lot of that.
Oh, Melissa, we got a weeder here. We'll just say, hey, Bob, pull those plants. No, not that one, James. No, oh, no.
No, that's the radishes. Now you got to eat it. But we do have, the community garden in Wisconsin Rapids is an option for people if they don't have a plot. And I know that they do through the McMillan. They have the teen gardening.
They do?
That has a plot down there. So you should check that out if you want to get in on, gardening, but not necessarily till up your own yard.
Right.
And keep in mind, we have our master gardeners around, too. They're always interested in taking your questions. And if you have anything you want to know, if you're just starting out, it doesn't matter. You can still reach out to the master gardeners. They love working with people and love supporting this community.
My dad has a degree in botany. He's never used it, but he's got a degree in botany.
I learned that.
Let's start passing his number around.
Yeah.
He needs some more calls, right?
Sure.
And when you with your botany questions, make sure to throw in there a happy birthday.
Yeah.
He still knows a remarkable amount, even though he's never used it. It's pretty amazing.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Well, I think we better end the segment here. Thank you for joining us today for another edition of The Kitchen's Open.
If you'd like to become a sponsor for the segment, please contact Pam at our front desk.
The number is 715-424-1300. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out the specifics for this award-winning show. That's 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
All right.
Another great one.
That was a great one, especially for summer coming up.
Yeah.
That was great.
I love learning stuff from these, too. Mm-hmm. There was so much stuff in there that I have never heard before. I did not know. That
Me
was
too.
Awesome. Nicely done, Melissa. Well done.
Oh, thank you. A huge shout out to the articles that I pulled from.
Be sure to reach out to our staff. Be a part of the team. Sponsor that segment right there. It's an award-winning segment, everybody. So make sure to do so. We appreciate you doing that. And be listening next Monday for another episode of The Kitchen's Open. We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
To everyone who can't get enough bacon, we're cooking up something savory for you at Culver's. If you thought our cook-to-order Bacon Deluxe couldn't get any better, wait until you get a taste of it with our new thick-cut bacon. It's savory, it's smoky, with just a hint of sweetness. Try it on the Bacon Deluxe, or add it to all your Culver's favorites. From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, H Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Knock the dirt off your cleats and step up to the plate with Wham Incorporated by Quality Plus Printing. Need custom apparel for your team? Or do you want to celebrate a victory with a one-of-a-kind shirt? Make the call to the bullpen with Wham Incorporated. And don't forget to send in a nomination for Who's Your Hero for someone who's impacted you in a positive way. No sports talent required. Find them on Facebook or visit them at 3515 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. It's a guaranteed home run.
Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wasan Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes. Just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit WausauWeightLoss.com or call now for your free, no-obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
Partly cloudy today with a high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 42. Tomorrow, sunshine, 67 by Wednesday. Mostly sunny with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Let's go ahead and dive into a little bit of entertainment news. In a moment, we're going to get into the things that confuse non-Americans about what they see on American TV and movies. We'll get into that in a moment. But and I don't do this very often, but I got to start off with some attitude here.
Oh, dude.
I'm sorry, but somebody messed with one of my favorite people.
Uh-oh.
66-year-old Steve Buscemi is the latest victim of an unprovoked attack in New York City. Luckily, he is doing okay. He's doing all right. Steve was walking in Midtown Manhattan on Wednesday at around noon when he was sucker punched.
What?
His attacker has been identified from surveillance footage, but hasn't been caught yet. Steve was treated at a local hospital for swelling in his face and left eye. He's okay. Rick Moranis and another person have also been victims of these random attacks in New York City. Everything points to this being literally very random. There's also been a couple of instances lately where Alec Baldwin and some other people have been confronted about the Israel and Palestine war. And so that has nothing to do with this as far as police officers have been able to find.
Right.
These are just random cowardly attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they are cowardly. First off, anybody who sucker punches somebody is a coward. Anybody.
Yeah.
Period. I don't care the circumstances. I don't care if it was my own father. I'm going to call him a coward to his face.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who does that. And anybody who messes with Steve Buscemi has got to mess with me. All right? You come find me, and we'll figure this out.
Yes.
All right? But come after me, going after Steve Buscemi. You leave that man alone.
Which, by all accounts, is like the most mild-mannered, gentle person on the planet. Even in spite of some of the people he's played, he's just like one of the sweetest people alive. Yeah,
an amazing villain.
Mm-hmm.
Like you kind of hate him when he's playing one of those characters, but
That's not really him.
No, that is not him.
Steve Buscemi, and you may never hear anybody else say this, is one of the most versatile actors we'll ever see.
Yep.
Period. Mm-hmm. Like, he can do it all. He can lead a show. He can be the best supporting man. He can do this, do drama, do comedy, do it all.
He's proven it time and time again.
An incredible, incredible actor. Mm-hmm.
And not only that, he's done it without being your typical Hollywood handsome.
He's a real person. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason I look up to him so much, yep. And I have my whole career. I was told that you had to look a certain way to be able to make a career. He looks a certain way, and he's made a very good career.
He has.
And I bring this up, too. I'm loosely joking about the stuff of how I feel about him and all that and everything.
Right.
But the attacks on our seniors and these things, this affects us all.
Yes.
I would like to think that there are certain things that bring us all together. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, I don't think anybody is kosher with the idea of our seniors being under attack in some way.
No, not at all.
Just random violence. It's not okay.
We need more and more things that bring us together. This is something where we can shame some of society for. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things where we can be like, hey, this ain't right. Don't be doing this. And hopefully see an end to some of these cowardly attacks.
I mean, 60, like, who does this? Yeah. Like a 60-year-old person. Seriously.
I need a palate cleanser in the middle of our entertainment segment.
Yeah, wow.
And I can't think of a much better one than this amazing podcast I came across called What the Muppet. It seems awesome. I see that, let's see here, we're Bria and James, two Muppet heads who really dive into the imagination world of Muppets.
Oh, all right,
sounds
excellent.
Sounds pretty cool. Sounds pretty interesting. And it looks like their newest episode is called You Have a List? That's a great name. I love that.
That is a great one.
If you are looking for a palate cleanser, looking for some fun, join us for What the Muppet. We have a new episode that drops every Monday. You can get it wherever you get your pods. Or if you'd like to take in the video, I encourage you to look at the YouTube video. Go into YouTube, type it in your search bar, What the Muppet, and subscribe to the page. Keep up to date and all that, and have some fun with us, everybody.
I have a question for one of the co-hosts of What the Muppet.
I'll see if I can get her.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to get a hold of. No, so here's my question. Are you ever going to do, and maybe this would be like a Patreon, like special episode or something. Would you ever do like Muppet adjacent stuff? Like the thing that popped into my mind was Peter Jackson's Meet the Feebles.
Yes, nice one.
Which you almost would probably have to do on a special one because of it's quite adult in its content.
Yeah,
but something like that, you know, like Muppet parodies or something like that. I think that would be. I think that would be a really cool episode.
So this all started with certainly the Muppet Show and the Muppet Movie and all those things. But when we talk to real puppeteers and people that went to school for this and everything, one of the things that her and I have been talking about behind the scenes a lot is, well, what about The Dark Crystal? What about you know other movies and other TV shows that incorporated puppets?
Yeah, the Labyrinth.
Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, that's right. Puppets there too.
They show up in more areas than I ever would have imagined until doing this. And yeah, that's something we've been thinking about. We've been making this joke about we're getting closer and closer to wrapping up our first season. 40 some episodes. Yeah, longest first season ever. And what do we do next? And honestly, so I'll let you guys in on something here. This is one of the things about me where I sometimes hold my tongue when I shouldn't or I speak when I shouldn't. And that's me owning that. Oftentimes, I will think for others or feel for others when I don't need to, when they can do that perfectly fine on their own. They're a grown human being. Let them think and feel for themselves. I do this with Bria from time to time. And I thought, okay, once this wraps up, we're done. And, you know, she's done having to deal with her dad a couple times a month and all that and everything. She wants to do a second season.
Okay.
And I'm jacked about that. So we're definitely doing that.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is kind of have some fun with this where we take movies and everything. And, okay, here's The Godfather. And then we're going to recast it with Muppets. This is something that we've been enjoying doing. We've actually been doing this on the podcast already.
All right,
like,
okay.
There's been at least 7 or 8 episodes where we get on a rambling tangent and go down a rabbit hole on some of these things.
Good stuff.
On TikTok, it's been kind of there was an artist that made the idea of doing the Princess Bride with Muppets and do a thing.
Okay,
That's something to dive into and stuff. And I know that there's a lot of good material there. So yeah, we've been talking about it. We've been talking about it. And I've talked too much about this. Another look behind the curtain, everybody. Because I love my daughter so much and I love supporting local artists, I wanted to promote this show when we started doing it, but I promised myself a minute. I would only talk about this for a minute, and I've already beaten that, so I apologize.
I helped to extend it, so it wasn't just you, man. It wasn't just you.
Is there anything lamer, though, than, hey, guys, let me tell you about my new band?
No, not at all. I disagree.
Kind of required.
Yes, I disagree, man. I think Melissa's right on this one. I think you need to promote it.
I'm really bad at selling things, if you haven't been able to tell you to. Nobody in human history has been able to tell better than Melissa and Seth.
Just dive right in, man. Both feet. Just get right in there.
Let's dive into this one. When non-Americans watch American TV. This is a fun topic. I want to be able to take our time with this, though. So we're right up against our news break. Why don't we go ahead, we'll take care of our news, inform our audience with our state and local news and sports that Melissa and our team do such a great job with. And when we come back, we can spread our legs, have some fun this one, really dive in. Mm-hmm. We'll do that when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The No Labels Party will not appear on Wisconsin ballots this fall. The No Labels movement has failed to find a candidate for president. The Wisconsin Elections Commission meets tomorrow and will take up a request by No Labels to be removed. That's even though the group turned in more than twice the number of valid signatures to get on the ballot. A new poll shows rural voters agree with many Democratic policy positions, but think Republicans are doing more for working people. The group Breakthrough Campaign says rural voters will be a crucial demographic in the presidential election.
There are enough voters in rural areas of battleground states who are up for grabs to determine the outcome of 2024.
Patrick Toomey helped conduct the Breakthrough Campaign's poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. Patrick Kehoe is an MD and board-certified dermatologist at Aspirus.
We often talk about the ABCDEs of melanoma. A refers to asymmetry, so one half of the mole doesn't match the other. B refers to border, so having a mole with an irregular border. C is for color, so having a mole that has various shades of tan or brown or black is concerning. And then D is for diameter. So most melanomas are bigger than the size of a pencil eraser, about a quarter of an inch. And then finally, E is for evolution or change of the mole. So if you see a mole that had been stable for a while and is now changing, that would be more concerning.
He said detecting melanoma early significantly diminishes the risk of it metastasizing to other parts of the body. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers lose to the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Cards 4-3 Sunday afternoon on Mother's Day. St. Louis, desperate for a win, down 3-1 when manager Ollie Marmol charged the home plate umpire and was ejected from the game.
Yeah, Ollie Marmol's getting upset. You can't blame him.
And this is a boiling point from strike zone to calls to seven straight losses.
The Cards manager asked if he had a problem with umpire Alan Porter.
No, Alan Porter and Sean Barber are good umpires. That had more to do with getting something going.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, it was a one-run game, but, you know, they left 13 on base. You know, we walked too many guys. We didn't execute. I think offensively and pitching and whatever, it just wasn't a great ball game for us.
The Crew opens the series at home tonight against the Pirates. Men's college basketball. Head coach Sundance Wicks is leaving the UW Green Bay Phoenix after just one season to return to Wyoming, where he served as an assistant coach with Sports on Mike Clemens.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The morning show on WFHR. It's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people. Yeah.
And on good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the way it's got to be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be, the middle especially for her had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, yes. One very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
T. Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, Wisconsin comedian Rob Breckenridge joins me in studio for some laughs, and we discuss World Cocktail Day with an expert Wisconsin bartender.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Partly cloudy today with a high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 42. Tomorrow, sunshine, 67 by Wednesday. Mostly sunny with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to our house. Let's get into a fun one here, everybody. This is going to be interesting, I think, as we kind of stretch our entertainment segment a little bit longer here. When non-Americans watch American movies and TV shows, and not everything translates, people have questions. BuzzFeed put together a list of things non-Americans don't understand when they see them in our media. And this is going to be kind of fun. Now, this is in no chronological order, so I'm just going to go right from the here to the top here. Mm-hmm. And at number 9, sending Christmas card family photos.
Oh.
There are literally 10 of them on my fridge at any given moment.
Guilty.
That's apparently not a thing.
Real well, I guess that's apparently their greeting card companies aren't as powerful as they are here in the United States.
Yeah. I think this one's pretty obvious. All the guns.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah. It's an abundance.
Yes.
This is the thing that a lot of people get bent out of shape about. You bring up guns and you got 50% of people to freak out, 50% of people to freak out.
Yeah.
Just what they're freaking out about.
That's the difference.
What they're talking about is the abundance of them.
Yes.
How many of them. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that anybody is saying, get rid of guns or something or you can't have guns in action movies and everything. It's the abundance of it.
So many guns.
Like a lot of things that we do. It's not just that we do them, it's the abundance of said thing.
Right. Excess.
Yeah. That's the word, excess. Thank you, Melissa. The way we try to stop natural disasters. As one person tweeted, it amuses me when Americans in movies try to stop a natural disaster ending the world because they're Americans and they just have to try. It's kind of... Oh, go ahead, Melissa. Sorry.
No, that's the reason. They're Americans. They have to try.
Yep. It is kind of funny. Like, I'm immediately thinking of every natural disaster movie I've ever seen, and it always involves an American trying to fix things.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's so true.
You gotta stop it.
I never really thought of that. That's hilarious. The way we compare the length of things to football fields. Yeah.
We do that a lot. We do that a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
like, there's no, I mean, first of all, we're using yards, which no one else uses. And then we're using a game that, like, not many people around the world understand at all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
it's
double.
It's bigger than a bread box, but smaller than a football field.
It's so good, Melissa. Oh, you're so right. That's a perfect example.
I don't like our segment.
Yeah. Nice. Yes.
And much like football, it can cause concussions, everybody. You need to see your doctor.
Head protection.
You need head protection when you're listening to our show. The way kids play trees and other inanimate objects in school plays. Another thing I've seen, unless the tree was a character who had actual lines.
So my question, does that actually happen? I don't remember actually being like my kids playing a like an inanimate object in a play. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it does happen.
Do they still? Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it more in like bigger schools. Mm-hmm. Like when you got a lot of kids and you want to get everybody on stage.
Right.
So, okay, well, we'll make a couple kids trees.
Right. Okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
I know it's a big joke in movies. You see it constantly in TV shows. Like every Hallmark movie has ever shown has that in it.
That's an interesting one. I see that one bugs me a little bit though, because theater's been it's bigger than America. It's been around longer than America, and I have a hard time believing that nobody ever played in an inanimate. But I wonder too. This is just expanding this a little bit. They don't really have a lot of kids shows or plays for kids in especially in Europe. At least they didn't used to. Maybe they do now.
Yeah,
but they didn't always do that.
Right.
Well, entertainment wasn't originally for children.
Right.
True, very true.
I
yes.
mean, they didn't have like amusement parks and things like that. All the entertainment centered around adults.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go back as far as like the 1800s, wasn't really until the 1900s that they started. Oh, hey, kids need entertainment. Hey, we can make money off of entertaining kids.
And that's there you go. That's the actual selling point right there. Wait, we can make money off this? All right.
So you're telling me that these toys I want these kids to buy, I can just do little 30-second things in between another show that kids are already going to be watching? Oh,
yes.
And marketing.
Or make the whole show about it.
These top four are pretty good. The fake baby school assignments. I can't speak for the whole country, but I've never known anyone who had to take an egg or a bag of flour or a baby doll home and then try to treat it like it was a real living thing.
Oh, they've gone even farther now, though. They have, like, actual pregnancy bellies that you have to wear.
Oh,
whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah.
There have been, like, there's the animal thing, too. You know, you have, like, a class gerbil. Or something like that.
Yeah.
I think my kid did that when we were still in North Dakota. I don't remember him doing it here, but I think they did something similar to that.
I don't know if it's working or not, if it's keeping kids celibate or anything, but it would work on me. It worked on me.
I had to take, we did a sack of flour when I was.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it is a thing.
Yeah,
they have actual like bellies that you have to wear that kind of simulate being pregnant. And then you have a baby that's automated that cries and, you know.
Wow.
You get a colicky baby. They can be programmed, you know, to simulate different baby experiences.
My senior year at Lincoln, I took a parenting class, and I'm 90% sure we had one of those. One of those babies that there. I don't think we had the egg or anything like that. I think we had actually one of those like baby dolls.
Right.
How we never say goodbye when we hang up the phone. This is really just an artistic choice. It eliminates needless words in real life, like we say goodbye unless you're mad, that kind of thing. But apparently this is something that we do that not a lot of other countries do.
Really?
Most countries, when they're getting done with a conversation, they make sure that it's like a period at the end, goodbye.
Goodbye, see ya. Yeah.
Interesting.
Talk later.
I find it weird when people don't do it, honestly. I always say goodbye at the end of a phone call.
This is
how European of you, Melissa.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Say weekend.
I've only had one person literally get mad at me for this, but I've had a lot of people like call me out on this one. I hate the word. I don't like saying goodbye. Don't like saying it.
All right.
I say later. You know, later. That's what I've always said.
Right.
I don't care if it's the president or
that's
my mom.
Still a salutation.
Yeah,
that's true. Or one actually James used a lot. I don't know if he knows this, but talk soon.
Oh, I do.
That's
that.
One that you use as like an ending thing. Yeah.
I goodbye to me is so definitive, and I know how silly that says. I'm an adult. I should know better.
Right.
But it does in my brain. Mm. It's just one of those things where it's easier. It feels better for me to say later or talk soon.
Yeah. It's well, and there's so many ways you can do it too. You know, like stay chill, or if you want to be lame, you know, like.
So lame, Seth.
It wasn't the words as much as you saying it.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
That was so good. That was so good. Speaking of words, the use of the word like. One person asked if it's just a reality TV thing. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's like. that is one. That is
it's
definitely
an
one.
Easy filler word.
It is. I mean, you could just as easily do or, you know, other sounds. Yeah. I guess like is just another way to fill that in.
Fill that while your brain is trying to catch up with or get past to get the words out.
What are those words that I want to get out?
We get
like,
we run
like
we run into this in radio a lot where every once in a while there's a constituent or a consultant that comes in and tries to tell, you know, this is what you're doing wrong and your ratings will be 1,000 times better if you do this. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't help anything.
Not really.
The consultant gets paid. And
that's what we should be doing.
And one, I will never forget back in my old days, they had a consultant come in and they said, okay, when you're doing your voice tracking, when you're on the air, never say never. Guess what happened to every single DJ, not just in our station, but every station under that umbrella? It took hours to do your voice tracking. It took days to do things on the air. And when people were on the air and they did catch themselves saying it threw off their whole entire conversation.
Oh, dear.
Because you're so focused on it that it consumes your brain.
Talk. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Talk. Be understandable.
Right.
You know, this is not rocket science. And we've learned, as we've learned here specifically at WFHR, real talk goes a long way.
It does.
Mm-hmm. People want to hear people sound like the actual human beings.
Real people.
Yeah. But we do use the word like way too much. We do. It's kind of like. No. And then number one on the list, our obsession with Halloween.
Yes.
Nowhere else in the world is it like. Now, this is not talking about like Day of the Dead in Mexico, which is a completely
different holiday.
It's more just Halloween, October 31st, the way we celebrate it.
Yeah, yeah. Which
people
is
people who start decorating before summer's done for Halloween.
Well, and I don't know if it's because of the commerce that's now associated with Halloween here, and maybe that's part of it too. You know, we got to commercialize everything in the United States. Yeah. So like another holiday where we can sell stuff, you know, here we go. Here's decorations and candy and costumes. Here you go. Woo. You know,
so much revolving around money. It keeps coming back to that.
The only holiday where the candy companies have made it so you do not want to give out apples.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right.
No. Apples are dangerous. You want our prepackaged candy. Now that is safe for you to eat.
and they got to come up with a new terminology for fun size. Ain't nobody ever had fun with one of those fun-sized candy bars. It's not fun.
Oh,
it's not
come
fun.
On.
It's frustrating.
Frustration size.
That's what it needs to be. Frustration size. A new frustration size. Boy, you know,
that'll fit on the package.
It's
the whole label.
It's too small for the labeling. It goes around the back.
I got to turn it twice to read it. Yeah. I get frustrated. Okay.
Oh, frustrating Snickers.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, just frustrated just reading this. Yeah.
We will be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the MaxSync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Partly cloudy today with a high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 42. Tomorrow, sunshine, 67 by Wednesday. Mostly sunny with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go.
little Velvet Fog to play us in. So we've got three now that we can use as ending songs, like going into our final segment.
Yeah, there we go.
We're adding that one.
We'll get up to five, so you can do one every day. We'll get five there for you.
Welcome to the show. We're going to take it to the top of the hour, wrap up the show. But I do want to remind you, everybody, we got great programming all day long here at Civic Media. Mm-hmm. Stick around for Matt and Air on the Air. Jane does an amazing job with the show, one of the best voices you're going to hear on radio. Mm-hmm. And be sure to check out the Maggie Dawn Show, everybody. Yep. Maggie's doing some really great work on that show and is such a personable, fun show. I really love listening to what she does on that show.
And we can, all three of us can attest, she is exactly the same in real life. That is who she is, which is really cool. Fantastic. It's amazing. Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to really tell her this, but I cannot tell you how much Maggie reminds me of one of my aunts. Like all my aunts combined. She's fantastic. We appreciate the work she's doing over there. Be sure to join us for Maggie's show a little bit later today, around 2. Mm-hmm. We got other good things to get to, but let's dive into this one, everybody. It's a morning show staple. The Social Security Administration released its annual list of the most popular baby names in the U.S.
All right.
And the top two again this year are Olivia and Liam.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Liam, that's so fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. Olivia has been
very
the top.
Old-fashioned names. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Olivia has been the top girl's name 5 years running, mm-hmm. and Liam has topped the boys' list for 7 straight years.
Jeez.
Wow.
Both top 10 lists are pretty much the same, but one new boy's name did crack the top 10. Mateo, M-A-T-E-O, jumped from 11th to 6th, and Benjamin fell from 9th to 11th.
Oh, wow.
And the 10 most popular baby names for boys are Liam, Noah, Oliver, James, Elijah, Mateo, Theodore, Henry, Lucas, and William.
Okay.
And the top 10 for girls, Olivia, Emma, Charlotte, Amelia, Sophia, Mia, Isabella, Ava, Evelyn, and Luna.
Wow.
They also looked at the trendiest baby names, meaning the ones that saw the biggest jump over the last year. The top 5 for boys are Aziel, Chosen, with a Z, Eden, Cassian, and Kyron.
Ooh, a lot of uns there. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
The top 5 for girls are Kalia, Aletziel, Emrian, Adaharia, and Azari.
Whew. Wow.
That's a mouthful.
No kidding.
And as a side note, I'm quitting teaching. I am not going to be able to do names like name.
You're
counts.
Going
to
be oh man.
There's a great Key and Peele sketch because usually what we were I remember what we ran into in the inner city when you'd have a whiter suburban man come into the area mm-hmm. and not understand some of the names and reading them off at the top. And it's the opposite of that where it's Keegan-Michael Key, a black man going an inner city teacher mm-hmm. going into the. What did Aaron? Who's Aaron? Aaron. What is it? It's just Aaron, sir. It's just Aaron. No, Aaron. Don't mess with me. It's Aaron. It's fantastic. I don't know. So that's another interesting thing to me about this list. I think that the average names, we can talk about those, but it's these new names that are coming out mm-hmm. and being created and getting out there. Mm-hmm. And more families are doing this, where they want to give their child an original name.
Yep.
I think that's kind of cool.
Is it original, though, if it's some of the top growing names?
Whether it is original or not, I think is a whole different conversation. To them, I think it is. And I think that, mm-hmm. whether it is trying to start a new tradition or just get away from tradition, I think that's kind of interesting where we're going there. Melissa has a strong point what she's bringing up, though, if these actually hit the mark or not.
Right.
That's a whole
thing. And then also realizing that if you're spelling it with some odd letters in there, you are relegating your child to a lifetime of correcting people on how to spell their name.
Right, and that was one of the things that when Beth and I named our oldest, Roan, we knew that we didn't want to spell, we had to spell it a certain way, otherwise people would get it, so Beth's maiden name is R-O-H-N, Roan, mm-hmm. But we didn't want to spell it like that because everyone would call him Ron. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, let's spell it like the river, R-H-O-N-E, okay? There's still issues with it, but less I think than there would be.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And I see this as not a trend, but the new way. Mm-hmm. I think this is pretty much what we're doing going forward.
And to keep in mind, most of them are actually a lot of the most popular ones are old school. They're going back, way back.
Yeah. Liam, Olivia, Oliver.
When Mildred comes back, then I'll be like, whoa.
And Beatrice.
And Beatrice, yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and eventually I'll be cool. Everything comes back around. So you just keep doing your thing.
Oh, James never goes away.
Your name is always in the top.
It is. James is already
so
around.
Stuff it.
We're back to stuffing thing. Okay, yeah, wow. Full circle.
It's so good. I love when that happens. People expect to live in closed spaces in the cities, you know, New York, mm-hmm. Houston, Los Angeles, Chicago, places like that. But you know there's a housing crisis when people in Michigan are living inside grocery stores.
Yeah.
The Family Fair supermarket in Midland, Michigan had some contractors out recently to work on a building when they came across a strange extension cord. They followed it and discovered a hidden dwelling. It turned out that a 34-year-old woman was living there. It wasn't a lighted sign out front. It was on the roof. The building was part of a strip mall, and the sign was on the front of a peaked roof truss. It's hollow with a 3-foot by 4-foot access door in the back. It's unclear how big this the space was, wow. But she had it decked out with the flooring and a mini desk and a pantry of food, a Keurig, and a house, and she had a houseplant.
Okay.
Wow. She'd been living there.
Just living a sign.
She'd been living there for a year. When the police went up to investigate, the woman came right to the door and said, "Don't worry, I'm leaving." Police aren't sure how the woman was able to get up to the roof so often, and she wouldn't tell them. She had a job, but not at the supermarket, and even a car. But there's no word why she was there, but it was rent-free. It was a rent-free spot, and she wasn't bothering anybody. The store isn't pressing charges or anything.
Well, that's good, because that would be kind of a PR
nightmare. Yeah, curious what they would do with that. But
The PR nightmare, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
She does have to leave, but they say they're going to help her transition to a new arrangement. The police offered her housing assistance, but she declined.
Okay.
So first, some good stories of the day. I think the way the police officers reacted to this, handled this, the way our law, our judicial system is handling this, we never get to say this.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. That's awesome. Congratulations. That's really cool. The way the grocery store, PR would be bad from this. Even with that, still the way they're handling it, I think is pretty cool.
Yep.
That ain't right part of the story is not this lady.
No.
It is the housing crisis we are in.
It is. It's the lack of housing, the lack of affordable housing.
Yep, you got it.
Two of the key sentences in that statement, in that article, everybody, which you can find at rmidland.com or USA Today, is the fact that this is somebody who had a job, has a job, and has a car.
See a vehicle,
She has these things. Terry and I are United Way. We've talked about this much with the Alice Report. The idea that you have in your head of a poor person or a homeless person, that's not what it used to be. It's changed. Now, go ahead and look outside right now. And if you see somebody walking down the street, statistically, chances are they're in the same group as the rest of us.
Yep. Study after study has shown, too, without that shelter, without having that, you cannot have a secure life. You cannot get into the ways to make society as a whole better. You need that place to live in order to do just about anything else. You need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and the struggle is that a lot of when you want to rent a place, you have to make triple the rent.
Yeah.
To be able to qualify to rent said safe place to live.
Exactly.
And do you know what rent is right now? And the average in Wisconsin Rapids area is close to if not over $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
That's
to rent an apartment.
Right.
We're not even talking a whole house here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something.
It's not sustainable. It is not sustainable.
I was just going to say, something has got to change because we can't. It's not going to last this way.
That's right.
We need a palate cleanser. Let's get into some good stories of the day. Want to remind everybody about some of our area school concerts going on. District String Festival happening tonight at the LHS Fieldhouse. All orchestras from 6th to 12th grade will be there at 6:30. Go and take in a great show. That's going to be a lot of fun. Keep in mind, later this week, Rams has their choir concert for grades 6, 7, and 8. That'll be Wednesday, May 15th at 5:30 over at the Rams Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a fun one as well. Our friends over at Assumption, the combined Assumption High and Middle School Spring Band Concert is tomorrow at 6:30 at the Assumption High School Gymnasium. Be sure to check that out, everyone.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then coming up later this week on Friday, the Nakusa High School and Alexander Middle School have their choir's pop concert going on at 6 o'clock at their high school auditorium.
All right.
All great shows. Be sure to check out every single one of them.
Support our kids.
Yeah, indeed.
Seth, you had some stuff.
I did. I do. I do have some stuff. Hey, stuff.
Here it is.
Stuff. I just found
stuff.
It.
Stuff.
Stuff. More stuff. Stuff the Desk is a collaborative community initiative led by the United Way to ensure every student has the supplies they need to learn. All families with financial need are eligible to receive free school supplies. To participate, sign up. You can start starting now, everyone. You can start signing up now. You have until August 1st. So there's a long way to go. But remember, it's first come, first serve to sign up for the time that you can pick it up. So you make sure you do it early so you can get in there. Go to their website, uwswac.org. You can click on the Stuff the Desk banner, or you can call 211 Monday through Friday between 8 and 5, and they can sign you up that way. The pickup dates are August 16th and 17th at East Junior High School at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Go sign up today.
Yeah. Yes,
they will have. You can walk in, I believe, on the second day, but they can't guarantee supplies.
No guarantee of supplies. That's right.
If you register,
sign up, and as soon as you can. It's always better to do it sooner rather than later.
Be sure to stick around, everybody, all week long. We're going to be having updates about different events going on in our area. We got some VFW things we want to touch on as well. And be sure to join us later today from 3 to 4 for Playmakers. Woo. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines getting the game call up on our sports show from 3 to 4 today. We're going to be talking some rafters a little bit later. I'm looking forward to that in the 3 or 4 lock as we get you ready for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty going on there.
Yeah.
Great show, you two. Thank you so much.
It was fun.
Yeah, thank you, James.
Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.